I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
All right, rolling to hour number two. Big topic of conversation today surrounding the New York Jets and their second overall pick in last year's draft that they thought could be the quarterback of the future. We've had that conversation about a lot of different names over the last forever since Joe Namath called it a career. And Zach Wilson right now finds himself benched. It is Barton Hahn. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. A perfect person to bring into this conversation right now is somebody who certainly knows this position and certainly knows what he's seeing when he's looking at bad quarterback play and good quarterback play. Tim Hasselbeck joining us right now, our ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, what do you assess from this decision that Robert Saleh made to bench, not even dress him, Zach Wilson for this week's game?
I think that it was so bad that, you know, he really didn't have a choice. I mean, just to put it in perspective, guys, and I mean, this isn't anything you guys don't know, but like, this is a guy who not long ago was the number two overall pick, and you are benching him for a guy that was a fifth round draft pick for a different team in 2018 that has three starts and has thrown eight interceptions to five touchdown passes. Like, you're not benching him, you know, for, you know, a player that, look, the rest of the league, you know, would be lining up to sign, you know, in Mike White. Like, that's not what you're benching him for. So I just think that I think we're all agreed, like, hey, there's this assessment of, wait, we might be a playoff team, and so our quarterback play is so bad that we need to play a guy that's going to give us a chance. Hey, let's go to Mike White rather than Zach Wilson. Like, I just think that that kind of says it all in terms of where they are with him.
Now, when you think about Mike White getting a start, you know, if he balls out and the team responds to him, much like Tyler Heinicke and Carson Wentz situation in Washington, is it Mike White's job, as long as he continues to play at a high level, or if he plays in a good enough level where you can take advantage of this run game and you take advantage of this defense? Or is this just a one-week type of experiment, okay, everything's better, you said you're sorry, you learned your lesson type of thing?
No. Listen, Bart, you know this, man. Like, you come into the league, you know, not as a high-round draft pick. You get your chance. You prove that you can play. Like, you get a chance to hold on to it. Like, that's how it works. So, no, I think that this is an amazing opportunity for Mike White. And, look, he may, you know, prove a lot of people wrong. He may take the job and run with it. And if that's the case, then, you know, Robert Saleh is going to look like, you know, a pretty smart football coach. I guess I just would say it's like, it's unlikely that happens. I just think the bigger issue that you have now is, because let me just say this. I was of the camp that, look, I feel like Zach Wilson, that is, was holding the football team back. There's no question about it. But I also think that moving on from him right now probably sets your organization back further. Now, listen, maybe playing him sets the organization back further as well. But I think that the leash you have to give him is just longer because of what you had to do after Sam Darnold. So I think it's over for Zach Wilson, the starting quarterback for the Jets, is what I'm trying to say. I think it's done now. I think making this move means that he can't really be your starting quarterback ever going forward.
Wow, that's saying a lot. I just want to remind the people who may or may not be, you know, Jet fans, that Mike White last year came in and threw for 400 yards against the Bengals, and the Bengals had just beat the brakes off the Ravens. So it wasn't like it was a struggling Bengals team. And he did that with a lot less talent on the football team. And he was playing the same way against the Indianapolis Colts, who were a playoff team, or was almost a playoff team last year, and before he got hurt. So I know that his quarterback ratio and all that stuff, that's because, you know, you look at the second game against the Colts, but he's played pretty damn okay. I won't say good, but okay. He played pretty damn okay.
This is where we're at, Tim. This is where we're at with the Jets. He played okay.
Yeah, no. Look, I actually thought they were going to go with Flacco. Look, Flacco starts three games this year and averages over 50 attempts. And I think at least with Flacco, you were going to get some good and some bad. The problem is you were getting nothing good, which is why Bart is saying, like, hey, just give me okay. Like, just give me okay.
That defense is that good.
And I'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tim Hasselbeck joining us here on the show. Tim, all right, let's step aside from the Jets conversation for now, and let's get to one of the greats of the game. And I want to play some sound from Aaron Rodgers from Pat McAfee so the listeners can understand the context of what I'll be asking you at the end. Well, listen to what he says, and then let me know, is he opening the door for stepping away from football?
To sit here and say, oh, no, it's all ball all the time and blah, 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 blah. Like, I mean, I don't know. That's not the way I am. Like there's life after football, and there's life outside of football, even during the season, that I think it's important to keep that balance. And yeah, you're gung-ho, you're all in, you're, you know, all about finding ways to tweak little things to improve and to be more efficient. But you're also a person, you have a life, and it's been an awesome run. I mean, I'm really proud of what I've accomplished. I don't, you know, I'm not like looking forward to the end, and you know, life after football is going to be a tough transition. That's for every player that finishes up. And I don't know when that's going to be. You know, I don't know if it's going to be after the season or after three more seasons or whatnot.
So, Tim Hasselbeck, I'm asking you, like, does he sound like a guy that's all in for playing anymore?
I don't know. I think some of the stuff he says, it's like he says both things. Like, it might be 3 years. It might be 1 year. It might be like, you know, I feel like it's you know, he gets on there with Pat and he's relaxed and it ends up being a word salad. And then we react to everything he says. Here's what I really think about the situation in Green Bay. There was a 4-year stretch prior to this season where he throws like 136 touchdowns and 19 picks over 4 years. Like that is an absurd, like, touchdown to interception ratio. Like, he won two MVPs back to back. And then there's just been this really quick fall from grace this season. I just don't think that Aaron, as much of a struggle as this year has been, I just don't think he's going to want to go out like this. I really don't. And I think that the season is long, especially when you're not winning and you're not playing as well as you wanted to. And so I think he's going to say all this stuff. Poor Rob Domofsky is going to have to, you know, spend his entire summer talking about what Aaron's doing. And then ultimately, I think he's going to want to have a better year than he had this season.
Okay, so what's worse, right? You talk about, you know, the Jets may set themselves back, you know, 2, 3 years, 4 years. Who knows, with guys like Jimmy G and Tyler Huntley maybe coming up. Maybe you can put a Band-Aid on a gun. Well, that's not a good term with what's happened yesterday. So I apologize for that one. It's putting a Band-Aid on a boo-boo, right? But when you look at what the transition is going to be from Aaron Rodgers to maybe Jordan Love, because Jordan Love would be going into year four next year. They'll be having to figure out if Aaron Rodgers comes back, if they're going to pick up his option. But all these mistakes that we see these young quarterbacks making, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Love hasn't even had an opportunity to do that. So he's going to be an old, young guy. And that's tough to have in this league, a young, old guy, you know, looking at a guy that, you know, has been in the league 4 years or maybe 5 years and making first-year mistakes because he has no experience.
Yeah, I mean, you basically have to decide, like, hey, are we going to pick up a fifth-year option on Jordan Love, and we've never seen him play? So we're going to pay him, you know, basically starting quarterback money, and we don't know if he's any good or not. Like, I think the ship sailed on the Jordan Love experiment when Aaron put together really two really good seasons. I mean, I think that that's what happened. And, you know, I think trying to fix that now or deal with that now, you can't do. I also think this year has not been great for Aaron, but I do think I think Green Bay will do this. I do think you have to take a step back and take a, somewhat wider scope of vision on, you know, the fact that he's 1 year removed from winning an MVP. Like, guys typically don't go from, like, the very best in the game to being, like, a top 20 passer, you know what I mean? Or outside of the top 20 passer. Like, that typically doesn't happen. And so I just think there's been way too much good equity built up in terms of how Aaron has played, especially relatively recently.
So he has earned the benefit of the doubt. I want to ask you this, something that was a debate. Like I said, is it 2 weeks ago now, Bart?
Yeah.
I think it's probably 2 weeks ago that Bart started, and it just, once other NFL players heard, former NFL players that we have at ESPN, they were all going at him like, this, you're crazy. And his comment was simply this, and I'd love to get your take on this. Dak Prescott is good, but he's not a top 10 quarterback. He named 10 quarterbacks that he would take ahead of Dak Prescott. And a lot of people felt like that was blasphemy. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my guess would be that there's a quarterback or two that's in the list that I would maybe say, you know, I would maybe put Dak in front of, like, not knowing Bart's list. But the reason I say that is this. Like, I do think that there are guys that, like, we probably all agree. Look, Patrick Mahomes is on a different level than Dak or other guys that you would consider Dak close to. Same thing with Josh Allen. You know, I think you'd feel that way. Mm-hmm. And then I think that there are other quarterbacks that you could legitimately have disagreements about. And when I look at Dak and I think about the offensive production, the decision-making, how good he is pre-snap, like all of those things, look, I think there are times where he is as good as anybody in that next tier of quarterback. Like, I just, that's how I feel about him. So, you know, who was 9 and 10 on Bart's list?
I forget. You know what I mean? But we have his brother on,
I'll
too.
Give you the list. I have it. I'll give you the list quickly. You mentioned Mahomes. Yes, of course. Josh Allen, of course. We got Rodgers. We got Brady. We got Burrow. Lamar Jackson. Deshaun Watson, even though he hasn't played. Justin Herbert. Matthew Stafford. And then he has Jalen Hurts ahead of him. And that's
So here's what I'd say. Like Stafford, I mean, like we're talking about, like right now, like he's miles ahead of Stafford right now, in my opinion.
We're talking about starting a franchise. Not Stafford today, because we wouldn't really have Brady or Rodgers on that list this year.
Yeah, look, correct. I do think that, and I think the context of how you're saying this. I think this, in terms of, obviously people get fired up when they start talking about top 10 rankings, who's in, who's out, and all that stuff. At the end of the day, like, you sit there and you go, is our quarterback good enough to win a Super Bowl?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm not talking like, hey, let's just go ahead and win in spite of this guy. I'm saying like, hey, is this guy a good enough quarterback that, like, he's going to help us win a Super Bowl? I have zero doubt in my mind, zero doubt, from what I've seen through his entire career, what I've seen this season from him, that he is good enough to do that, that he's good enough to elevate the play of guys around him in a way that if everything else is kind of trending in the direction, that he's good enough to win a Super Bowl.
And I agree with you. And that I think we feel like you're slighting somebody if you say that they're 10th. Like I said before in my argument, I'm sure Jimmy Butler's okay with not being in the top 10 in basketball. He's made a lot of money, right? It's okay to be Jimmy Butler.
You
but top 10
finals.
Is a special list. That's what I'm saying. It's okay to be number 11 and number 12.
Listen, my favorite thing in the world is, right, when we get to draft time, and like they're like, hey, this offensive tackle, who's his comp? And it's like, oh, he's Jonathan Ogden. And it's like, okay, let's stop for a second. Like, not everybody can be Jonathan Ogden. Like, there was one of those dudes. Like, tell me, like, I don't know, is he going to be Anthony Costanzo? Like,
yes.
Is he going to be?
Could it be Lane
Backus?
Johnson? Like, Lane Johnson is pretty damn good. He's not Jonathan Ogden.
It's okay. It's absolutely okay.
I love them, but these are the debates that make the sports world go round. That's why they're enjoyable. Tim, thanks so much for the time with us, and have a great Thanksgiving. All the best.
Hey, same to you guys. See you, fellas.
All right. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Great stuff on the quarterback conversation. And you know what? Actually, in a few seconds here, let's take the quarterback conversation, Bart, and turn it into something that Micah Parsons brought up when it comes to maybe too much deference to the quarterback, at least with one award that we give out each year. We'll do that, but first, Bart, tell us about O'Reilly.
When you need auto parts, AutoRally.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at OReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. Or if you choose to have your parts delivered right at your front door for free with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get free? Your order quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. Song out of the live read, Michael Parsons, OBJ.
No, you didn't have to.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You just put it there. I'm going to keep reading.
Yeah, but I didn't put it there. Stosh, you know you can't put that there, right?
You'd think after all this time I'd have learned my lesson.
No. Bart is a very thorough participant in this show. He will read everything there, the whole thing. So, Bart, I think you and I have talked about this in the past, but I don't remember how you feel about it. Michael, and so you as a defensive player, of course, as a Pro Bowler, as a linebacker, Micah Parsons actually responded to a NFL Twitter account that had MVP candidates. And in the picture, Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Tua, and Josh Allen. And so his response, Micah Parsons, was, why is this a quarterback-based award, question mark?
The same way the Heisman is. Like, stop it. We understand the world's not fair. And that's just what it is. I understand what you're saying. Maybe it should be a quarterback, offensive MVP should be something. MVP should be most valuable player. Quarterback, the best quarterback should get offensive player of the year or something like that. I understand that. You know, I don't know if we've seen a defensive player win an MVP since LT.
No, we have not.
You have, like, even outside of a quarterback, I think we saw Barry Sanders win MVP one year.
Adrian Peterson was the last non-quarterback to win the award. This was 2012 when he was just completely unstoppable.
Right. So, I mean, it's just so hard to
measure. Reggie White never won an MVP?
Yeah, it's crazy. But he's defensive player of the year, which is the equivalent, right?
Which is the equivalent, yeah.
Right, Aaron Donald.
That's hard to believe. Reggie White was like one of the most dominant players in the game.
Yeah, but see, but when you don't touch the football every time, it's less highlights to be able to put on your resume. Right, when you literally touch the football every time, and if you got, you know, spectacular plays and comebacks, wins and losses are going to come a lot of times directly to you because that's what the people are going to see. Oh, you see the quarterback march them down the field. So, listen, I understand what Michael Parsons is trying to do. I mean, he should concentrate on trying to be defensive player of the year because, you know, Judon is right there with him.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, he's not having
13 sacks.
Right. He's not having a year that we would think, but he has the name and the hype because of Dallas and because, Jerry Jones said he should have won it last year.
Right.
So
Parsons has 10 sacks on the season so far, but he's been almost everything for their offense. 35 tackles, 3 forced fumbles.
But 35 tackles is okay. That's not, you know C.J. Mosley, to let people understand, okay, has like 95. Like Raekwon Smith has like 95, right? So, you know, I don't know if he's not having a better year than this year, but he may get the award just because, you know, voters are easily influenced. But Judon at 13.5 sacks, what he's been able to do on a defense that's probably at this point ranked higher than – because when you give up 2 yards to a team in the second half, that's going to help your statistics. And they did the same thing to the Colts and the Lions, I think, held them to 0 points. They had a shutout. So Judon really should be getting way more consideration. And T.J. Watt has only played like three games, but he looks like the best defense player in the league when he plays.
Yeah. So you as a defensive player, then, you don't, it doesn't sound like it bothers you.
I mean, because the defensive MVP is the equivalent, man. We just should I be standing on the soapbox like, you know, Charles Woodson should win the MVP, the Heisman. You know, that's going to be rare. You got to have to do that. You got to be at like 18 sacks right now. Right? You got to be like T.J. Watt was last year to have that type of argument. Or you got to be something like where Calvin Johnson was, almost 2,000 yards receiving. It got to be something like that. It's got to be something out of the ordinary.
Right.
And nobody's really doing that this year. Maybe Tyreek Hill has a bigger argument about being the best player or the most valuable player than Michael Parsons.
Yeah, I now that I remember it from talking to you, I guess I go back to remembering, like, you weren't. I was with Stocks, and I were talking about before the show, right? Stocks, that's what I said. I said, I think Bart isn't, like, because some people might think that you'd be aggressively defending the idea that a defensive player should be in the conversation. But everything I remember from past conversations with you, you just kind of almost have surrendered the idea that, look, this is just what happened.
It's like having same argument.
You're right.
About
it's like the Heisman.
Like, yeah. Like, come on, man. Ain't nobody going to get it. Let's do, you know, took five touchdowns back. He's a punt returner like Deion, and he's putting points on the board, play receiver in his spare time. You know, that's always hard to do.
Derrick Henry doing what he does for the Titans. You take him – like, it goes back to that. What does it actually mean? MVP. If you take him off that team – but that's not necessarily what this argument
is. What's their war? Yeah, it ain't about it. What's their war? Take him off the team. They bum salad.
Yeah. That's why. That's why you want your kid to grow up to be a quarterback. They get all the glory. And if you're Zach Wilson right now, you also – get all the blame. And he is not the starter for the Jets this week. And if you're just joining us, has been announced the number two overall pick in the draft just 2 years ago has been benched by the Jets. For how long, we don't know. Robert Saleh did say he will return at some point this year. But on Sunday against the Bears, he will not dress. It is Mike White's time to shine. Once again. Yes.
Mike White.
Waiting for you to say that. Coming up, we get a visit from the great Bart Stradamus. The day before Thanksgiving.
Oh. I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bart and Han.
Been a busy show today, everybody. Bart and Han, presented by Progressive Insurance. Week 12 of the NFL. What a busy Thursday, Bart Scott.
Yeah, like, man.
We've got some game. I mean, usually the Thursday, Thanksgiving games tend to be like, maybe there's a good one, but some of them are like, why the hell are these two teams playing? Like, we get a lot of that.
We got some doozies.
We got some good games, and
Hope my dad can enjoy dessert. He called me before the show, too.
Did he?
I called him back. Maybe he was prepping with his Pepto-Bismol.
We should have had him on. Yeah. Just give him a call in. But right now, it's time to step aside and reintroduce. This is a fan favorite. You either love him or you hate him. One way or another, you're listening because you want to know what's going to happen, what the future will bring.
Oh.
And to do that, we go to one place and one place only. We bring in Bart Stradamus.
Oh, yes, my favorite time of the year, where teens show their fear. Happy Pagan Day, you whippersnappers.
Oh, yes. Gobble, gobble.
Barsha Damas, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Pagan Day to you.
I see.
As well, Mr. Han.
I want to bring up Bart's dad, since Bart mentioned it. And I think we should start there with you. Because we love him. And on Thanksgiving, we often feel bad for him because he is a devoted, loyal, passionate Detroit Lions fan. And he always has to watch his team play on Thanksgiving. And sometimes, or most of the time, it leads to agita, heartburn, maybe some other issues I'd rather not discuss. So I ask you, Barsha Damas, by the time the Bills and the Lions game is over, which is the first game of the day at 12:30, will Bart's dad be too disgusted to enjoy his Thanksgiving dinner?
Oh, Alan, how I wish I was a bearer of good news.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Bart's dad shall be slithered over in a drunken stupor.
Oh, God.
By halftime. As the Lions bring out the matte silver helmets, and they're going to get knocked down. They're going to get back up. And, oh, they're going to get knocked down and get back up again. But ultimately, the Buffalo Bills, who have made themselves at home for two straight weeks,
yes,
shall turn off the lights. Oh, but that's after they stuff up your bathroom. Oh, with a log so big that Drano himself will not be able to dissolve. Oh, Mr. Capers.
That's disgusting.
I'm so sorry for your misery. But by now, oh, it's a great tradition. The stock of Irken Jerk and brown liquor shall go up as Mr. Capers shall down the brown.
Oh.
So it is said. Oh, so it shall be.
I'm really sorry.
Why does the NFL do this year in and year out?
I don't think we need
teams with that's over 500 go against the Lions. Why not give them the Browns, the Panthers, or maybe, just maybe, the Cardinals of Arizona?
Nope, you get the Lions. And how about this? If the Bills do win this game on Thanksgiving Day, they will have as many wins at Ford Field this season as the Lions. So it is said.
So it shall be.
Next question for you, Barsha Damas, as we move on. The Chargers and the Cardinals play on Sunday. Which team do you see Sean Payton coaching in the future? Now, there's a report that both teams could be on his list. So if you could foretell the future for both of these franchises that are kind of like, you know, well, the Cardinals look wayward. If they lose this game, forget it. And the Chargers are sort of just on this treadmill. Which team do you see Sean Payton coaching in the future, if either?
Oh, that pesky, pesky Payton. He's been sliding into the DMs all year.
As his energy has been so negative towards those two teams. Oh, but Cliff Kingsbury shall be able to keep his bachelor pad as the cheese on his taco is just too much to muster. Oh, the Cardinals, as traditionally constituted, is a very, very cheap organization. Kingsbury is safe. So is the baby Mandalorian. But, oh, Mr. Bradley, this was your year, as they spent dollar after dollar
Brandon Staley. Yes.
Yes, Mr. Staley.
Right.
I got it confused.
Brandon Staley. You made Brandon Staley and put it into one Bradley. I see what you did.
Oh, Mr.
For
Bradley
those who couldn't
Staley.
Keep up with you.
You don't get your name right if you waste a generational talent. Oh, they're going to need someone to get past
the Chiefs in this division.
Someone who can match wits offensively against the great Andy Reid. Oh, and Sean Payton has taken an average quarterback and given him a reservation to become a HOF. What can he do with the talent and the likes of Justin Herbert? Oh, yes. Sean Payton shall have a great pad in L.A. as he's been in the DMs. And finally, he shall get his man or woman. So it is said. Oh, yes.
So it shall be.
So it shall be.
Dean Spanos, you need to get Sean Payton as your coach. Okay. Last but not least, Barshadamas, I have something for you to listen to before I ask you this next question, because I want you to have full context of what exactly I'm trying to get out of it. I want you to listen to Dak Prescott speaking about a certain unsigned free agent who was starting to get healthy, and after Thanksgiving, this is, of course, Odell Beckham Jr., planning to decide where he was going to sign with for the rest of the season. Here's the Cowboys quarterback.
I can't necessarily say constant, but yeah, definitely have sent some messages. I've been a little back and forth, just making sure he understands that, yeah, that we want him here, and that, as I said before, I understand it's a business, but right now I guess it's a who can recruit better. And yeah, I don't know necessarily about what he's looking for when it comes to the numbers and long term and all that, but I know that we want him here and hoping it all works out.
What's your sense of his interest in being here?
Mutual, honestly, mutual. That's the reason I say business is knowing it's more than just somebody's feelings of wanting to be somewhere. So, yeah, understanding that will come into play, but feeling like it's mutual.
And Jerry Jones has said as much. Mike McCarthy has said as much. DeMarcus Lawrence and several other players via social media has said as much. So, Barshadamas, foretell the future. Is there a star on the helmet for OBJ?
Oh. Yes. Phrasing?
There is mutual interest, but not mutual money. Mm. Oh, show me the money if you love me, honey. Oh, yes, he's been in contact with Dak Prescott. Oh, but there's no place like home. The home is where the heart is. And the heart is with Von Miller. Buffalo? Oh, he loves him so. He loves me. He loves me not. Oh, he loves him some Von Miller as they hoisted the championship last year. And what Vonnie wants. Oh, Vonnie, get. Oh, yes. And Vonnie's willing to do something that old Dak Prescott isn't. And that's give money back for a chance at immortality. Oh, yes. I see OBJ in the BUF. Bills Mafia, stand up as they're all in. To finally dethrone the Chiefs of Kansas City. So it is said.
Wow. So it
shall
be.
So it shall be.
And that is your Thanksgiving edition of Barshadamas.
Happy Pagan Thursday.
Bad news for Bart's father. Good news potentially for the Chargers and Sean Payton. And bad news for Dallas if they're hoping to get OBJ. Very good stuff this week from Barshadamas. Coming up, we have your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. And yeah, it is Thanksgiving tomorrow. There's some good football games to watch. And there's some questions we have for you as well about the holiday. We'll get to that and more. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott. ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. We'll get to the calls here momentarily. So we've got really good, Bart, we've got really good games to watch on Thanksgiving Day. It begins at 12:30 with the Bills back in Detroit taking on the Lions. And it does not bode well for Detroit. But you know what? They beat the Giants. The Bills haven't played great of late.
That's true. You know,
they've had to like run around. This has been a weird 2 weeks for the Bills, dealing with the snow and playing somewhere else and then coming home for like a day or two and then coming back. You know, maybe you just catch them at the right time. The 4:30 game is the game, if you ask me. Giants at Cowboys, huge game in the NFC East.
Walker wounded, though, so like this is a bad time. This could be the beginning of the end for the Giants.
For the Giants, you think so?
Yeah, I mean, they got Philly twice. They're banged up.
Saquon Barkley game, right? Big Saquon Barkley game, would you say?
Man, you got it. Like, Wink's going to have to do something different and try and play a lot more zone.
Defensively, yeah.
And switch it up, because when you don't have a lockdown corner, it's hard to blitz and put guys on islands all the time. So more zone blitzes, which is good, but I don't know if they have great linebackers that blitz at a high level. So, yeah.
All right, you're going to mail me there. And then Patriots at
Vikings. No, you love the matchup. Matchup at night, I think, is the last two, like, is good games. I would be surprised if the Cowboys lose that game.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen stranger things, so I'm not saying that, especially after having that, you know, that victory last week and maybe coming back and being a little bit deflated, you know, with all your family in town and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's like right in the middle of like prime dinner time, right? The 4:30 kickoff. That's one of those, if you're in either household, to Cowboys fans, Giants fans, you got plate on your lap on the couch, right? You plate on your lap on a folding chair. Like, nobody's sitting at the table with this game going on. If you're a big fan of either one of these. Patriots Vikings is the late game at 8:20.
Hey, Ma,
in Minnesota.
Ma, can you give me some turkey and ham, please? Thank you. You don't leave your seat.
Do you have that, was Thanksgiving always for you, like, the cliche? Like, it always feels cliche, but it seems to always work. The one relative that's, like, asleep by, like, it's not even mid-afternoon. Yeah, they're barely there, out on the couch, done.
There's one
that's always starting trouble. There's the one guy that wants everybody to play football, and they're freaking out, like, let's go, you know?
Turkey bowl. Like,
yeah,
I score four.
The one that takes over the kitchen, and I'm a chef, and they get into that mode.
You got the one that's healthy that want to bring some stuff, like, ain't nobody going to eat. Like,
the alternative menu guy. Then there's the one that, like, used the bathroom in the middle of the day, and now it's useless. Ain't nobody going in there now.
Yeah.
Like, really, dude? Like, you couldn't use the one downstairs? You knew what you were going to do. Why would you go there? It's right off the kitchen. We got it. Never mind. I'm just opening up a door of what my life was like growing up. What do you think if we did this? Let's play. Like, we got an hour left in the show. Let's play a game with the listeners while we're having fun. So let's fill in the blanks on some of these. Let's think about them during the break, and then when we come back, we'll have fun with it. 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So the athlete that you'd invite to Thanksgiving dinner, or an athlete or coach. See, to me, it's the athlete or coach who would fill these. Who is the one that would start trouble over just a simple dinner conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Who is one that would fall asleep on the couch watching football? We just talked. Who's the one that's all jacked up and wants to play the family football game and takes it too serious? Who's the old relative that would do nothing but complain about kids these days?
I know.
Who's the relative that you want to hear stories? I want to sit down and let him tell stories and everybody shut up. The relative that says they're coming, but then they never show up.
Mm-hmm.
The relative who's always late. We got to wait for him. And then, of course, the alternative menu relative that Bart just brought up, which I'd say it's Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, yeah. Something like that.
We got
so let's have
tofu.
Some fun with these.
We got
goals.
Soy tofu turkey. Like, man, ain't no tofu turkey. Like, better get the hell out of here. Tastes just like
anything
turkey.
That's gluten free. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn podcast. You can listen to the guys live weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can listen and watch the guys on the ESPN app. This is the Barton Hahn podcast.